This evening, if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to 1 Samuel. I want to continue our study through 1 Samuel. We're coming to 1 Samuel chapter 2. And it's beginning to introduce us to the ministry of Samuel, even as a young boy. But he's also introducing us to the ministry of Eli, an old man. And there's two conflicting lives that you're going to see. One of growing faith, one of growing trust in God, and one of a man who should know the truth, but is willing to compromise the truth to protect his sons who are ungodly in their lives. And it impacts his whole ministry. Let's begin to look at chapter 2 of 1 Samuel and begin at verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came, and while the flesh was in seething with the flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he stuck it into the pot, into the pan, or kettle, or cauldron, or pot, and all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, "Give flesh to roast to the priest, for he will have the sodden flesh, for he will not have the sodden flesh of thee, but raw." And if any man said unto him, "Let not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth," then he would answer him, "Nay, but thou shalt give it to me now, or if not, I will take it by force." Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, and the men abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up from her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived, and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did all unto all Israel, how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all of this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them." And the child Samuel grew on, and it was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto thy house of thy favor, of thy father, when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest and to offer upon mine altar and to burn incense, to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by the fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thou sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, the days come when I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth of God shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom I shall cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that shall come upon the two sons on Hophni and Phinehas, in one day they shall both die of them. And I will raise up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house. He shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that left in thine house shall come and couch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat of a piece of bread. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, pray that you just speak to us from your word tonight. Help us to be sobered as we look at the life of Eli. And help us to be encouraged as we look at the life of Samuel. And Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've met people that were walking with the Lord. They seem to be growing in the Lord, and all of a sudden their children begin to go off track and turn against God. And instead of standing firm before the Lord and taking a firm stand against the activity that their children were involved with, they begin to compromise and make excuses for their kids. And not only does it impact their children in that their children see their parents abandoning that which they said was truth to follow the wicked things that they're beginning to be involved in and to justify them, but it also really encourages them to continue in their lifestyle. I was once listening to a man, and he was speaking, what do you do when your child goes the way of the world? And he said, are you willing to give them over to God to allow God to deal with them? Because God can know how to transform their heart and what needs to be done to bring them to their senses. Jesus gave the account, the parable of the two sons and their father, and the younger son being enamored with the things of the world and not understanding the blessings of God, went to his father, if you remember the account, and asked that he could have his inheritance early. And his father gave it to him, and the son took it and left. And the father, I believe in his heart, knew what was happening with his son. But he was willing to give his son over to God, that God could deal with his son. If you remember what happened with the son went out in the world and he immediately had all these friends. Because that's the way the world is. When you've got something other people want, you're their friend. But the minute it's gone, they forget you and leave you. As long as he had money and could throw parties and they could have a good time, he was surrounded with people he thought that were his friends. But there came the day the money ran out and he found himself having to find a job. And the only work he could find was slopping hogs. I want you to understand how humbling and humiliating this would have been to this young man. He had grown up in a home where God had been the center of his father's house. The Word of God had been the truth of his father's house. And we see that he would have known hogs, pigs, were an unclean animal. But not only did he find himself slopping and feeding and taking care of the pigs, the only thing he had to eat was what the pigs were eating. And that's the day that God brought him to his senses. And he said, "Don't even the servants of my father have it much better than this? I will go back and ask my father if I can work for him, and perhaps he will allow me to be a servant." But as the young man came back, you had a dad that was always expecting him to return. Knowing that God was in the process of transforming that boy's heart, and as he saw his son coming, he immediately told the other servants, what? "Get the calf. Get the banquet ready. We're having a feast. My son is coming home." He ran to embrace his son. What was the difference between that father and Eli? The scriptures tell us an interesting thing about Eli's sons. I want to give you a little background into the priests and the sacrifices, because you need to understand that in order to understand what's going on here. If you go to the book of Leviticus and go to the book of Deuteronomy and read about the sacrifices and how they were to be conducted, all the fat of the animal that was sacrificed, the fat, the kidneys, were to be burned as an offering to the Lord. No fat was to remain on the meat. It was all to be burned. Depending on the sacrifice, different amounts of the meat would be burned and sacrificed to the Lord. Some of it would be totally consumed. Other times, the priests were given a portion of the meat. Other times, not only were the priests given a portion of the meat, but the people were allowed to take a portion of the meat home themselves. But always, the fat and the blood were to be sacrificed. Never were they to take the fat or the blood was to be consumed by them. Having that background, as you come to these young men, first of all, Eli had not presented the sacrifices properly. Because if you look at when the people are coming, they're bringing their sacrifice, but it's done, and you go back and you read how it's supposed to be done, it's not done quite right, even before his sons get involved. When his sons get involved, it says an interesting term. They're called sons of Belial. Belial is an interesting term. It's used a few times in the Old Testament, and it means someone who is a total scoundrel, but it's even more ugly than that. It talks about someone who's involved in sexual sin. And it's also someone who is embracing idolatry. They're worshiping other gods. In this case, I believe the other gods were themselves. And we see that these men who were called sons of Belial were the sons of Eli and were to be the ones that were to take over the priestly duties when he died. But what they did is the men would bring their offering and give it to the assistance of these two young men to, as their sacrifice. And immediately, instead of cutting the fat and burning the fat and making sure the meat was, the blood was gone from the meat, they would say, "Give it to us. Give it to me raw. Give it to me with the blood and the fat." And if they said, "But no, that's improper," then they would say, "Well, then we'll take it by force. You don't have any rights here. And I don't care what you say about God's word and what God wants done, we are doing it our way." If you go back and read, you'll see that the priests were allowed a portion of some of the sacrifices. And as I mentioned, it talks about the peace offering, and they were allowed the breast and the shoulder, a breast and a shoulder to take home for themselves. These men wanted it all. But if that wasn't bad enough, the women of Israel would come to worship the Lord, and these young men would seduce them and have sexual relationships with them at the tabernacle. Mocking everything that was dear to God. What were the sacrifices given to the nation of Israel for? And why did God have these rules about how the sacrifices were to be offered? And what was the significance of the blood? And what was the significance of the fat? And you can go back and you can read all of that, and you will see that it was all pointing to the coming sacrifice of Jesus. These men were trampling under the means of salvation that God had laid out, that Israel was looked forward to, and they were saying, "I'm going to do it my way, and you are not going to do anything about it, God." And then not only that, they trampled under that which was should have made Israel a different nation from any other nation, and that was the sanctity of the marital relationship and the sanctity of the sexual relationship between a husband and wife, and they mocked that and stepped all over it. And their dad did nothing. Oh, Eli came one day, and he kind of, on the hand, "So I'm hearing these wicked things about you. You shouldn't really do this. You've got to stop." But was he willing to say, "God, do whatever you must do with my sons, but make them stop"? Was he willing to come and stand and say, "You're not being part of this service anymore. I'm kicking you out of the priesthood. I'm kicking you out of being a part of the worship until you repent and turn to God"? He did none of that. And they kept on. Now there's an interesting dynamic going on during all of this, and that's the dynamic of Samuel coming into the house of Eli. And Samuel, I mentioned, as we've looked at the first few lessons out of the book of 1 Samuel, the faith of Samuel's mom. Samuel's mother's faith was deep in God. So deep that we see she trusted to be willing to give over to the Lord her son, and to trust God that he would take care of him and that he would raise him up to love him. And to tell the Lord, "I will make him and give him to you as a Nazarite, as someone where the razor will not come to his head," which would be a Nazarite, someone who was totally given over to the Lord. And then she didn't see him but once a year, because the scripture says that the times that she saw him, they weren't going there. It wasn't like today where I want to see my kids, so I get in the car and I'll drive, or I get on a plane and I go. But no, they had to travel, and they usually would go to the tabernacle once a year to offer sacrifice, and she would go with her husband. And then when she went to offer sacrifice, she always brought her son a new coat. A coat that every year he would grow and he would need a new coat. But it was also, I believe, that it was a coat given to him that he would remind the commitment that his mother had made on his behalf to God, and that he would keep that commitment as well. At a very early age, Samuel was involved where Eli's sons would not be. He was involved in the true worship of God, and he honored the Lord in serving the Lord before him in the tabernacle at a very young age. From when he first came, and he was probably only about 4 or 5 years old when he first came, because he came shortly after he was weaned. We see that Samuel, it says, grew in favor of God and in favor of men. Eli's sons grew in disfavor with the Lord, and men hated them. So you have this dynamic going on. The Lord sends a prophet. And it's interesting what this prophet says. This prophet comes and he talks about the fact that the house of Eli is coming to an end when it comes to serving God. The Lord's judgment is sure. The Lord's promises are real. But he comes to Eli and he says, I'm going to tell you something, Eli. The Lord, when the people came out of Egypt, your father, and he's referring to his father Aaron, your father Aaron was called to be the priest of Israel. And after him, his sons were to have a part of that priesthood. If you go back and you look at the sons of Aaron, you'll see that the descendants of Aaron, there are different sons, and the various descendants of the various sons had different responsibilities in the temple during the worship. And Eli had inherited the responsibility of being the priest that would be the one that would lead all of Israel. But he had violated that trust. And God says, this is nothing light that you have done. I gave my word that Aaron would and his descendants would be the priests over Israel, and they shall remain the priests over Israel, but you are not going to be, nor are your descendants going to be part of that priesthood. There's coming a day where every one of them will be removed from this responsibility, and one of the things will be a mark on your house is that the men will not live to old age. And not only that, these two sons of Belial that you refused to deal with properly, that you have refused to discipline, that you have refused to tell them, my judgment is coming on them. My judgment is coming on them. And they will both die in a day. And then he begins to tell them what's going to happen. He says, you think that I will not allow the enemies of Israel to come against them. But the day is coming where I will. And you're going to see the blessed things of Israel taken from you. And you know why? Because of you and your sons. Because you mock the worship of me, you will not call the people to worship me, and you mock everything that I have presented to you to uphold, and really you're mocking the promises of God and really the Son of God, Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened The enemies of Israel came against them, and the unspeakable happens. It's interesting as you look at what's happening in the world today. You know where the missionaries need to come? To America. I was talking to Donna on Sunday, and she was sharing a little bit about some of the things that had happened in Africa when she was there, and how the people had gotten saved, how people want to know more about Jesus. And it's not just in Uganda. You go to Muslim countries where they are hungering to know the truth, even though when they know that they accept Jesus and they call out, God, if you're really there, Jesus, if you're really there, show me. And God will miraculously show them either by bringing somebody to reveal that, doing a miracle in their life, healing them, or revealing Himself in another way, and they come to accept Christ even though they may know it could be their death. And there's powerful things happening. And in America, we have freedom. We have the ability to meet. I went to the school board meeting last night, and I was talking to one of the school board members afterwards, and she said, well, you know, we've got a lot of problems with discipline in the schools, and there's nothing we can do because we can't do anything, because we can't touch the kids, we can't have time out with the kids. And I tried to tell them during the school board meeting the problem. They've abandoned truth and embraced the lies. As I mentioned on Sunday during my message, there's two forms of education. Classical education, which is based on the truth of God, based on Judeo-Christian ethic, and it's actually teaching kids what they need to learn so that they can learn the various fundamentals of the various aspects of math, science. But I said, what you have done is you've embraced progressive education, which is based on evolution and humanism and a rebellion against God. And that leads to the things that they have done in the schools, that the things that they're doing in our culture, and it's getting people to abandon God and believe all kinds of ungodly lies. And it begins, sadly to say, I believe, at the feet of the pulpits of America and at Christians in America. We've had so many opportunities and so much freedom, and we have ignored it. How can you expect the ungodly to look to the Lord when God's people won't? How would the people of Israel know what holiness and righteousness was when the priest that was leading them in worship ignored the unrighteousness of his own children to the point that they were called the sons of Belial? And he did nothing about it but encourage it. But God raised up Samuel. In the midst of all of that, God raised up Samuel. And I want you to understand an interesting thing. If you desire the Lord and to seek Him, it doesn't matter about the ungodliness around you. If you're seeking God, He'll reveal Himself to you. Just as He does to the people in Africa, just as He does to the people in Iran, just as He does to the people in China, even though, as we pray tonight, that the leaders of China would not be able to spread their ungodly perversions amongst the people, and the people would have the real Word of God, and we know that there are many people coming to Christ in China as well. And the thing is, we need to realize that God hears and answers the prayers of His people. The amazing thing about Eli is when Hannah and Elkanah came, He knew the faith of Hannah. And he asked God, bless this couple and give them children. And it says that they got 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. God blessed those who heard His calling. And God judged those who denied His word. We need to understand the dynamic is still there today. And God is here to work in the hearts and lives of those who will seek Him, just as He worked in the heart of Samuel. But the day of judgment will come against those who deny Him, just as the day came to Eli and his sons. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to understand these truths and help us to apply these truths to our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn to 472, God was there to give grace.